I had recently broken up with my girlfriend and needed to get away for a while. We had our usual camping spot just past the covered bridge, deep in the Red River Gorge. It was secluded, and we always had such a great time together. I arrived with Rudy, my golden retriever, that July afternoon. He had been pretty bummed about the change as well, and I just thought it'd be nice to get away and go someplace familiar that we both enjoyed. We parked and began down the empty, overgrown trail. Not many knew that this was even a trail, having shut it down a few years prior. We made our way to where it curved around, about an hour and a half of a hike in, at a leisurely pace, to the top of a hill. And that's where we diverted, into the woods by this fallen tree, a marker we had been using since we started camping there. I know, looking back now, we shouldn't have veered off the trail, but we'd been going there for over a year with no problems. Nothing crazy had ever happened before. Arriving at the flattened area, there were still some chopped logs at our makeshift campsite from the time before. I set up the tent and got a fire going, while occasionally tossing a stick into the woods for Rudy to retrieve. The sun had set. I sat in my folding chair, next to the small fire, now tossing Rudy's favorite light-up ball into the woods. He was obsessed with it. He'd happily trot off. You could see his fur glowing with flashes of red and blue. He'd come back, seemingly smiling, ready for another go. I was stoking the fire when I heard Rudy let out a distant bark. I turned and was smacked in the back by the ball. It ricocheted and rolled down the side of the tent, its strobed colors trailing down the side. Rudy was back and happily picked up the ball in his slobbering mouth, his wagging tail swatting the side of the tent as he faced me. My senses heightened, listening for any unusual movement. Guess it had just bounced off a tree. That night, I had dreams about my ex showing up at the campsite, and the dream played out like nothing had happened. But it changed like dreams do, morphing into the time that we almost lost Rudy out in those woods, the bickering, the panic, the divide between us. When I abruptly woke up, Rudy, the good boy that he was happily panting beside me, basking in the sun from our mesh top tent. We hiked to the secluded swimming hole that day, a little place that my ex and I found on one of our first trips. It was seemingly in the middle of the forest, a decent-sized swimming hole fed by a small waterfall over a rock overhang. Skirting the edge of the rocks the one time we got under the waterfall, but we didn't dare go further into that cave. Rudy always loved the water, jumping off the nearby edge, splashing in to retrieve whatever thrown branch. I was getting some good footage of Rudy when I thought I heard something over the sound of the water. Rudy's ears were also perked, looking off into the woods. I listened, studying the surrounding area. Rudy whimpered excitedly, locked on something in the woods. "What is it, boy?" I whispered to him. He continued to stare. His focus was on something deep in the woods.
"Rudy."
Did I hear a voice? I focused my eyes on the tree line.
"Rudy, come here, Rudy."
Rudy was excitedly tapping in place, happily panting with anticipation.
"Rudy, I got the ball."
I was trying to hold him in place. That voice, it almost sounded like my ex, but how would she have known? "Mia!" I hollered, listening for a reply.
"Over here."
Confused was an understatement. The hair on the back of my neck was raised. Something just wasn't right. I grabbed Rudy by the collar, trying to steady and steer him as we hurriedly walked back towards the campsite. Approaching my tent, the light-up ball whizzed past us. Rudy ripped out of my grip, sprinting after the ball, back down the trail. "Rudy!" I yelled, frantically trying to run down the trail. He was barking as I came to the clearing and saw him anxiously pacing at the edge of the pool, whimpering, facing the cave, the flickering ball reflecting its fluorescent blues and reds through the waterfall. A voice echoed from what seemed to be the cave. The voices, they began to overlap. Rudy began to back up, his tail between his legs. He dropped to the ground. I'd never seen him so frightened before. I snatched his collar, trying to pull him from his planted position. The voices, they were overwhelming. "Rudy, let's go!" Rudy shot off away from the pool as we raced down the trail, not stopping till we made it back to that fallen tree. We hightailed it out of there, never looking back. I always wonder what we encountered that day, luring us. What was waiting for us in that cave? I haven't found any answers with my research, but I suppose maybe that's why they closed down that trail, and maybe why so many people have gone missing in that area.
Before college, I was working in the tri-state area at an urban farm. It was a laid-back gig, cleaning up urban plots, getting gardens started for the local communities. We got free veggies and could keep whatever cash we got from the farmers market during the season. Well, towards the end of the summer, my boss offered a job for us across state lines into Indiana, working for one of his friends. We were to clear up a large, overgrown garden at a property they had just purchased. You could tell at one point it had amazing landscaping, with cobblestone pathways, and the focal point being the elaborate fountain in the center. It was an easy job. Our team of four worked really well together, and the guys always made it fun. We busted out the job each day and would take a siesta, an hour or so break each day to cool down in the summer heat and go swimming in the river nearby. We'd carpool together, riding down the winding roads, looking for a new spot to swim. On this particular day, we went a little further out, looking for a more shaded area of the river. We pulled off to the gravel shoulder and started to hike through the overgrown woods, down the embankment, holding onto tree trunks and branches, careful not to slip down the mud. We eased into the river, before drifting a little ways to a bit of a beach clearing we had seen when curving around the bend. Treading in the water, we realized that we found a deceptively deep area. I couldn't touch the ground, even with arms pointed up, jettisoning myself further down. The one guy on our team was pretty fearless, and it was a miracle he didn't get hurt more often with all of his antics. So, of course, he wanted to see how deep the water went. "Dude, there could be, like, old coins down there," he'd said. The water was pretty clear where we were at on the river. Not as much mud kicked up, fogging the water. He took a big gasp before diving down, his legs flailing like a frog, going further into the dark water below. We started to worry, before he popped back up a little further away upriver. He swam back over to us. "Man, I don't know if I can reach the bottom," he announced, winded. My other buddy took a turn, plunging under the water. He seemed to be down there longer. Muddy streaks began to swirl through the water. He emerged, swimming back to where we were clustered. "I don't know, I couldn't..." Levi interrupted him. "What's that?" He pointed below, staring at something in the water. We watched what seemed to be a faint light, blinking in the water. He dipped down, opening his eyes under the surface. "There's something down there," he said, returning to face us. We waded closer to him. I knew it was my turn this time. I took a deep breath, plunging below, gliding further down. Past the dirty swirls, I squinted, taking in the view of a crashed minivan at the bottom of the river, tipped sideways, sliding side door ajar with skeletal remains waving in the current, some still strapped in with their seatbelts. It was a horrifying sight. After the sunken vehicle was extracted from the river, we came to find out that it was the remains of a family that had gone missing back in the mid-90s, the case having gone cold, until we went swimming in that secluded, haunting area of the river that day.